held at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Ooga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 54 of Three in the Box, your back alley Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, December 14th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about defensive staffing problems, outdoor game seduction, and the up-and-down Wild week. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's the week been for you guys?
Yeah, you know, average.
Busy.
It's been warm out at least. You know.
It has.
The past couple of days has been very warm.
Not looking like a winter wonderland anymore.
You see people online complaining about the abnormal heat in December, and it's like, were you people not here in November when it was like
abnormally cold?
Yeah.
You know, I for one do not need a white Christmas. I'm quite content with a brown or slightly green Christmas.
Me too, but how are we ever going to host an outdoor game with temperatures like these?
L.A. did it.
L.A. did it. There we go.
I think actually even Mexico had one too. So
I believe you're
not
right.
NHL, but I think it was an NHL game.
I believe
they
did have, or no, it was the Mexican Hockey League or whatever. I don't think it was MHL, but whatever their surprisingly hockey league is, they had an outdoor game.
So if they can do it, why can't we? Even all with right. Our beautiful 50-degree weather.
Right. For a day.
For a day. Well, before we get into things, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at 3 in the Box. That's the number 3 in the box. So let's get into it.
This past week, the Wild went 2-1 with a massive comeback against the Islanders, a mauling at the Shark Tank, and what is this? Not one, but two power play goals against the Coyotes on the road in an eventual shootout win by Backstrom. So, the Isles games have some interesting hits, a stand-up-for-your-teammate fight, and a huge comeback. I don't know if I'd really call that a fight, but it was something.
There's a fight with
Matt Martin
and Brodziak,
yeah.
And, you know, the Wild players, you know, were very adamant that that was a spark to them.
I believe it was.
As lackluster of a fight as it was, you know.
So with that, they still went into the third down 4-1 and came back with four unanswered goals to win 5-4 in regulation, which was pretty impressive.
First three-goal regulation win, comeback win in franchise history.
Wow.
So, impressive.
So that was the Isles game in a nutshell. The Sharks game, not as impressive. With Scandella and Ballard not in the game, which we'll talk about later. But the Wild were getting outplayed, and you know, I feel manhandled in just about every corner and every scrum that they got into with San Jose. And then comes Arizona, which some more good stuff for the Wild coming out of there. Wild, like I said, got not one but two power play goals on the road after going 1-44 prior to that in, what is it, 18 games or 12 games, 14
see,
games?
See, the numbers are turning around.
They tripled their road power play goals
right. They
in
did.
One game.
In one game. Wow.
Those numbers, like I said, episodes past, those will turn around.
Well, and now I believe there are three teams underneath them for worst power play in the NHL.
And they've turned around their home power play, that's for sure.
The power play goal against Islanders.
Yeah, and they showed a graphic last night that Wild were obviously the last place in the league for road power play, but they were, you know, middle of the pack, I think number 16 overall at home for home power play. So, you know,
it's getting there.
They're turning things around slowly but surely, you know.
So yeah, the icing on the cake though is Backstrom getting a shootout W. So I won't rag on his shootout abilities until he screws up next time.
Thank you.
And then after that, it's fair game again. But so 12-13-14, the date of Saturday with the two power play goals and Backstrom getting a shootout.
Or 13-12-14 if you're the rest of the world.
Sure. Which almost makes more sense. No.
Or if you're using ISO standard, it could be 14-13-12, which is also just as impressive, I think.
Yeah. So, I guess what do the Wild need to do to start playing against some of these more physical teams like San Jose? I suggest more punk rock basement shows for practice drills.
They need Cookback. I think that's going to be a big thing. They need Cookback. He may have gotten in a couple fights as a Wild player, but not many. Mm-hmm. But he's a physical presence out
physical,
there.
Physical, yeah.
You know, and he's aside from the one hit in the playoffs last year, he's kept his nose pretty clean as far as the hits go as well. Yep. And the Wild need a guy that can do that.
Definitely. I mean, I think I mentioned this last week. That's the biggest thing I think that is missing from the Wild's game right now is the physicalness. Even with, you know, the defensemen that we have, I believe that, you know, they're not necessarily the most physical defensemen, and we don't really have that, I guess, you know, not necessarily an enforcer, but, you know, the guy who is going to, you know, get on the boards and get to those dirty areas.
Right.
You know?
So definitely need. I mean, what do you think, Kenny?
Yeah, I don't see. I agree with you with Cook, but yeah, Carter, I mean, has some of the size. We got Coyle in there who's got some size, but I haven't seen him playing like how we played in the playoffs last year, and that was with two separated shoulders.
Right, right.
You know, I saw him throwing more hits then than I do currently, and getting into more, you know, corner battles and scrum.
And he has moments where it looks like he's figured things out and he's playing, you know, in front of the net and getting into the dirty areas. But, you know, then he'll go a couple games and he's invisible.
You know, and Vanek was stepping up a little bit more against the Islanders. And I saw a little bit against the Sharks where he was trying to stay out in front of the net a little bit more. But even, you know, it doesn't seem like he's battling. It seems like he's kind of going up there if he sees the opening and not so much trying to fight his way up there.
Yeah, this is true, but that I don't know that that's ever been Vanek's MO.
Yeah.
And at the same point, you know, I know this isn't really a topic for this week, but we talked about it last week, Vanek getting moved up to the top line. He's kind of responded this week, and he's had a lot of great chances and great looks this last week.
Definitely.
So I don't know that him getting in the dirty areas is necessary because that's not his style.
And especially, you know, moving up to that top line, I mean, that's Parise. And yeah. I mean, that's his spot right down there. And you saw he did pick up one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't remember the exact how many. But, yeah. And where was Parise? Right down there in front of the net, you know. And I believe it was Vanek who actually fed him.
Yep, it was.
Yeah, so. Vanek got a goal and an assist that game.
Yep.
So,
but yeah, you know, get some of these bigger guys, physically bigger guys, to start grinding in the corners a little bit more. In general, you know, get Nino down there fighting, which he's kind of seems to have been on a little bit of a drought lately too.
Well, you know, talking about big guys getting in dirty areas, they even brought up during the broadcast last night that Coyle, you know, looks like he's modeling his game after Koivu.
Ouch.
And but of course, being that it's, you know, Fox Sports, they're spinning that as a good thing, you know. But unfortunately, that means, I mean, Koivu's a good player, but it's not without pitfalls, not without a big butt, you know. And Coyle, while, I mean, any player, if you're a peewee, and if your aspiration is Koivu, that's not a bad aspiration to have.
No.
You know, but at the same point, you kind of hope with the talent that Coyle has that he'd be more than Koivu. But maybe Koivu is his ceiling. I don't know. I guess time will tell, I guess, on that. He's still pretty young.
Only time will tell, yeah. We got a lot of youngsters on the team that, you know, we'll have to wait over time here. There's going to be some ups and downs, some droughts, as you'll say, you know, that where, you know, things just aren't working right for them. But, yeah.
And we do have smaller guys that are scrappy, too. And I think that's while we lack the big guys that are big hitters, mm-hmm. we've got a lot of tinier guys that are scrappy. You know, we already talked Parise. You've got Zucker, who's he's not afraid to get pushy.
Yeah.
Niederreiter is another great one where he's willing to park in front of the net and just chop away at a puck.
Yep.
So we got a few of the guys like that, but they're not.
Brodziak isn't afraid to start shoving and pushing either.
No, he isn't. It's too bad that he hits pipes when he does actually shoot at the goal, you know, like he did, I believe, against the Sharks.
San Jose, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you take the good with the bad. But another person who's really physical is Keith Ballard. Unfortunately, one of the biggest stories coming out this past week was the brutal hit on Keith Ballard in the New York Islanders game. Midway through the game, Matt Martin made an arguably late check on Ballard as Ballard was spinning to avoid the check. He didn't have the puck anymore. Had gotten rid of the puck half a second earlier. This caused Ballard to go headfirst in the short wall between the benches. No penalty was called, even though many Wild players saw it as an obvious attempt to injure because he came basically cross ice, you know, in the process of doing this. Ballard was instantly knocked out, knocked unconscious. He had fencing responses where your body stiffens up and your arms kind of raise up after a concussion.
Right.
He suffered 3 facial fractures and the concussion. He has a history of concussions. So at best, this is putting his season in jeopardy.
Yep.
At worst, this could be career ending.
Right.
I mean, this is a pretty substantial injury. He had to go to the hospital, had to go to Regions. I know we joked about going into Regions because the advertisements locally.
Right.
The injury is obviously obviously very serious. And he got out of the hospital, so that's a good sign, but there's still swelling in the brain. So they don't know whether they're going to do surgery or not or yet. So first off, what do you think this means for Ballard's career, both in Minnesota and after the season? I mean, he's only signed through the end of the year with the Wild.
Yeah.
Are we going to see him again this year?
Possibly for playoffs, but I mean, we're sitting at, you know, almost the end of December right now. You have January, February, March, and April, 4 months. I mean, if it's as bad as what they're saying, I'm thinking he might be out at least 2 to 3 months. Plus, you got your rehabilitation time in there, too. Maybe by the end of the year, if Wild are making a playoff run.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing. Brain injuries and that. I mean, they still are unclear, you know, of the damages that they actually do cause. And it's hard to even say from person to person, you know, how they respond to things. Some people, you know, can bounce back quick and others, you know, might bounce back, but they might have setbacks once they.
Right. Well, and you add to that, it's not just a concussion. It's, you know, 3 fractures in his head, in his skull.
Yeah.
I don't know what the time. I mean, obviously none of us are doctors, but I'd be terribly surprised if we see him again as a Wild player.
Yeah.
You know, maybe next year, maybe we end up re-signing him or whatever.
Yeah.
But I honestly, with a hit like this, and he's had several concussions in the past.
Yeah.
This is probably been the worst.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to get much worse
sure
than that.
He's feeling it, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I feel real bad for him because he was actually kind of seemed like he was turning things around, you know, on the ice for us.
Right.
He kind of turned the corner after kind of a not-so-great season last year.
Yeah.
It seemed like he had kind of turned things around, but this is just really unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, he's... What, middle 30s?
I think he's like 33, 34, something like that, yeah.
It may be enough that he won't play in the NHL again if he doesn't come back this year.
Yeah, I mean.
He may not even want to at this point, you know. I mean, sometimes that's the other thing is you run the risk if you have another concussion, it might be definitely the last one, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know.
And there's been a lot of literature and information, education about brain injuries.
Yeah.
Obviously more so with the enforcer roles.
Right.
But, you know, a concussion is a concussion.
Yeah. And is it worth it? I mean.
Right.
Yeah,
so. Does he want to be a vegetable when he's in his 50s?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got young kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, maybe he just says, you know, I'm done, you know.
I guess time will tell on that one.
Yeah. So, well, with that, what are you guys' thoughts on the hit? What do you think? It was clean? Martin didn't get a safety hearing, no penalty.
No, right.
nothing.
Yeah, I at least felt that, you know, it should have been up for review. Like you said earlier, I mean, the guy was coming from across the ice.
Right.
He plays a right wing position, and Ballard was on the left, so he skated the entire width of the rink at minimal.
And with Ballard getting rid of the puck, spinning away, he didn't let up.
The hit was so late that the cameraman didn't even have them in their shot.
Right.
They were that busy following the puck.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I understand that it's a bang-bang thing, and I can understand, you know, nothing being called on the ice. I'm pretty lenient as far as, you know, things like that, as far as the on the ice. It's so quick, I couldn't blame them.
But why can they not give it a review after the fact?
They did review it, and they found that, A, Ballard was turning away to absorb the hit, and that the hit came 0.5 seconds after the puck left his stick, not the required 0.7 for disciplinary hearing. Thank you.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
So that 0.2 seconds apparently was the difference.
That was
between
the difference maker.
Well, you know, and so he didn't get a review, but someone else did get a review from the same game.
From the exact same game. Mr. Scandella, fresh off of his new contract, has his second kind of run in with the law here. Scandella got a 2-game suspension for his hit that he put on Brock Nelson in that game against the Islanders. The hit was similar to basically one that he had put on TJ Oshie back when they played the Blues back in the end of November there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not a lot of time in between those. I don't know. When I watch it, Scandella, he led with his shoulder. I mean, do you guys think, was that a cheap hit? Was it malicious?
Honestly, maybe I missed the definitive angle, but personally, I didn't see a hit to the head. I thought Nelson was selling it. Yeah. And Scandella's a tall guy, so,
right,
you know, he's 6'2". He's...
So when he steps up, he steps up.
Right. You know what I mean?
Ironically, the play just froze right there. Well, okay, his shoulder goes up, but, you know, Nelson's head is also lower, too.
Right. I mean...
And what is one of the number one things that they teach you in hockey? Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Right.
For Ballard,
they said Ballard was slightly responsible for the way he turned.
Because he turned, right.
And that's why Martin didn't get the suspension. But because Brock was, like, leaning down, apparently his actions had no input on that.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And we can't even blame the Brads on this one.
And Scandella's leading with his shoulder. I believe in the hit on Ballard, I saw more like of an arm coming towards his head, basically, you know?
Right.
Like an arm or an elbow, basically. But I don't know. So, I mean, given that Scandella's history now, I guess we'll say, do you guys think that 2 games, was that enough? Was that too much? I mean...
Well, honestly, you know, following Twitter during that game, there was people that thought the Scandella's slash on John Tavares was worse than the Brock Nelson.
Isn't that even coming from, like, the Islanders fans?
Yeah, it was. So, you know, maybe Scandella's been getting a little too, I don't want to say aggressive, but...
They want to rein him in?
Yeah, maybe it's a matter of him just being a little more safe. With how he's, you know, I don't think it would be unfair to say he's being reckless.
A little bit.
You know, I think that's fair at the least.
Yeah.
But I don't, the suspension makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I've seen a lot worse done to players on the ice no punishment has come of it.
You know, they did show his hit on Oshie, and again, it looked like Oshie's head was down. Maybe it's being biased. Maybe it is the fact that Scandella is a taller player in general, so it's going to be more likely to happen.
But both of those hits, he's leading with his shoulder.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I think that's clean hockey when you're leading with your shoulder.
And they both happen to be in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
With the player head basically down going after the puck.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I don't think either one of them should have been called. Obviously, if they're going to call both of them, which they did, you had to figure some sort of disciplinary act was going to happen. Right. Two-game suspension sounds about right.
And at least the league wants to put on the air is that they're trying to cut down on head injuries.
Except for, you know, Ballard getting rammed into the board.
Well, and the whole fighting thing, but, yeah. You know. So but while we're speaking of injuries, you know, it's looking like it might be a good thing that the Wild have played the fewest games right now in the West. The defensive unit in particular has been hit very hard with injuries. You're losing Ballard for maybe the whole season. Scandelli's missed a couple games from suspension. They were without Spurgeon last night because of illness at last minute, where they had to move Bickle from forward to defenseman.
But he only played very little shift, so they basically played with 16 skaters.
Right. But they're still hampered at that point. You know, Cook is still out, but is expected to skate with the team before Tuesday's game. So, you know, we have that going for us. The last little bit of injury news is we reported last week that Harding was pulled from a game due to dehydration. Well, according to Mike Roos at the Star Tribune, it was bad enough to require hospitalization and was MS related. I don't know. What do you guys think? Does this jeopardize the chance that he'll ever play for the big club again?
It was right around this time last year when he went in for a new MS treatment, and he didn't play the rest of the season.
Right.
Well, and I'm no expert on the MS stuff, but
tell me it ain't so, Dr. Jive.
but I have, you know, from what I've heard from, obviously our situation's dealing with Harding here, but also other people that I know. It's hard to get used to these medications and stuff and the different sorts of cocktails, I guess, basically, that you're given. So, I mean, you know, if I feel bad for the guy, the broken foot thing. I can't feel bad for him for that. But,
right.
I do wish that he could have another chance to play, but I really don't. I don't see the way that things are going right now that there's even room for him here. So we don't necessarily need to, I guess, battle to try to get things under control as far as medications and conditioning for him. So,
right.
Now, couple months down the road, if we have an injury or two, it might be a different story, but yeah.
But right now, I mean, it looks like Backstrom and Kemper are at least holding down the fort.
They're going strong, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, we're above .500 team right now.
We are.
You know, so.
You know, in that said, I mean, Backstrom and, I mean, he's been holding up on his end. I mean, he's had some fairly decent games. I've seen him make some, you know, spectacular saves. Saves that, like, I recognize from back when he was younger, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I really think that our goalie situation is doing okay here for the time being.
Right, right.
And besides them playing okay, they both seem to be fairly healthy. And that said, even if our goaltending does falter a little bit this year, it at least seems that we're stepping it up on the offensive side, where if we do give up a few goals, we're not out of a game. So
this is true. And, you know, hopefully with the power play finally coming around, you know, if the Wild could even if they'd have been at 30%, well, that's actually asking a lot. 20%, they probably could have won a lot of those games.
Oh yeah, they've had several, you know, 1-2 goal games, you know, that
where had you just had your power play
one bounce the other way, yeah,
you would have been golden.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. We're coming close to midseason, obviously. Closer. Over a third of the way.
I think we're, 30 games into
28, but there are some teams that are around 30. You know, I guess we'll have to just wait and see.
Yeah, speaking of waiting and seeing.
Yeah, wait and see. Well,
wait and see. Let's wait and see. Hurry up and wait.
The latest news in the outdoor game watch saga.
Dun, 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 dun.
The latest news is that Colorado and Minnesota are both likely to be hosting stadium series games next year.
Now, are they both likely to be hosting games? Or I thought it was down to them as finalists for an outdoor game.
Well, in that, I know, because this year there's only two games. There's the
Winter Classic.
The Winter Classic, that's the one I'm looking for. And then one other outdoor game, the Stadium Series one.
Not in Canada?
No Heritage Classic this year.
Right. And also, besides Minnesota and Colorado being for that, Winnipeg is also on the mark for the Heritage Classic.
Right.
But that, from what I understand, is, you know, not even as solid as as it is for Colorado and Minnesota. So
this is coming from Puck Daddy, who's saying from McKenzie, Denver and Minnesota will likely both get outdoor games for 2015-2016 season.
Interesting.
So, but Boston, they appear that they're probably going to get the Winter Classic again next year. Seeing as how they've already had it, I mean.
Yeah, why not?
Might as well again, right? So, I mean, do you guys really expect that we would have gotten the Winter Classic?
We're not an East Coast team.
You got to be East Coast?
You got to be on a coast.
So West Coast represents, too?
On a coast or Chicago.
They're on Lake Michigan.
Their biggest city, so I think they get an exception to the rule.
Well, maybe we can bring it to Duluth. We'll be on a coast up there, right?
How about we just play it out on Lake Superior?
Ooh,
freezes
on Lake Superior, yeah.
Once every 7 years or something like that, it completely freezes over.
And we'll invite Bettman and let him drop the puck on the year and it's not frozen over.
Yes. Or we'll just make sure we got somebody underneath, you know, just enough to crack the ice right underneath center ice when he's doing the ceremonial puck drop.
So is it possible, though, maybe that, the stadium series, if we do get that next year, maybe these are, a test run or something for locations to maybe be future hosts of the Winter Classic? I mean,
I don't think so. Well, maybe future, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
No?
I think it's going to be years down the road, you know.
I don't know. I'd have to say that if we held an outdoor game here, I would be willing to bet that it is very, very successful, number one. Not only from the metro area here, but, I mean, I'm sure we would get folks in from outstate and,
no doubt,
Wisconsin and probably NoDak. I mean, I think it would be a pretty big deal, you know? So, but I think that they'd see, you know, just how much support there is around here. And then if you want to bring in people from even outside that, I definitely see that we should be getting one in the next few years.
Well, we are playing the Bruins on Wednesday, and it's a nationally televised game, so who knows if we'll hear any news. Obviously, they'll probably be talking about the Winter Classic potentially, and then being that they're playing Minnesota that day, they may end up dropping something Wednesday.
Sure. My question is, and this is really important stuff, what jersey will the Wild wear? Because they tend to wear classic jerseys. And obviously the Wild have only been around for 14 years. So there is no classic jersey for the Wild. Do they go with the North Stars, which seems unlikely?
I don't know if they can, because
that's a different
Stars
franchise.
Still, I don't think Minnesota got to retain the naming rights. The city didn't get a chance to retain the North Stars name, so I think that traveled with the Dallas Stars.
That might be right, but, you know, Vancouver wore the Vancouver Maroons jerseys during their Heritage Classic, so why couldn't we use the defunct team? Or do we wear something like the Minnesota Fighting Saints, the WHA team?
Oh, hey.
Or the Minnesota Moose.
The Minnesota Moose. Oh, man.
They're still a current team, though. And they were never NHL.
I don't think they are anymore.
Well, actually, Saints weren't. Weren't they the Manitoba Moose?
Yeah, but that was before they got the Jets.
But the Manitoba Moose must have been.
They were playing
in
Winnipeg, yeah.
Yeah, but you have basketball and hockey playing in the same arenas in the same day, actually.
Yeah, but two hockey teams.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, I could have swore that they had moved again and changed the names again. But on that, what have we got for upcoming games, Kenny?
Tuesday, Wild are in Chicago versus the Blackhawks. And then, like I had mentioned, Wednesday, Bruins, which is going to be a nationally televised game, and that is here.
Oh, nationally televised.
Nationally televised.
Because it's against the Bruins.
Oh, yeah, why not? And then...
this is not against the Penguins.
Thank God.
We don't have to hear about Sidney Crosby's mumps for the whole game.
Was Pierre licking him off again?
Is Pierre the reason everybody's getting mumps?
Oh. He's patient zero.
There we go.
Is that just a good reason to get rid of him in general?
Probably. I'm no epidemiologist, but I'm going to say yes.
You could have fooled me.
Maybe he's cancerous.
I think that's been proven.
Or he's just a cancer.
Right.
So then after the Bruins, a couple of days off, and Saturday, the Wild host Nashville Predators here. That's it for the week.
And that means it's time for Game of the Week discussion.
Game of the Week.
Last week's Game of the Week was Wild at the Sharks. Jai was the only one who picked the Sharks.
Woo-hoo!
So, and the Sharks obviously won. That means Jive moves up the ranks yet again. And obviously Jive is controlling the soundboard, so.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Jive's got 8 points now on the season. Me and Kenny both have 3. So.
Oh, nerds!
With that, I picked last week's Game of the Week, so now it's going to be Kenny's choice since we're tied.
I'm going to go with the one road game with the Wild at Blackhawks, and as Aaron had pointed out pre-show, apparently I've picked the Wild every week.
Every week this season, you picked the Wild.
Big old homer.
Apparently.
Granted, I haven't been much better. I think I've gone against the Wild, I think, twice. So.
And that must have been when they won.
Probably.
So, going with the laws of averages, I mean, if I keep picking the same team over and over and over again, I'm bound to get points, right? Maybe.
Nope.
Shit. Well, I'm betting on that one. But you're going with the Wild?
I'm going with the Wild. And I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be 2-1.
Okay. I'm going to go against you. So there's going to be one of us moving out of the cellar here. I'm going to go with the Blackhawks. Blackhawks are great at home. The Wild, as we know, are mediocre on the road. And they've had a really tough time in Chicago. So I think they're going to lose. And plus, over the last 4 games, the combined scores have been 28 goals over the last 4 games for the Wild. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring thing. That's why I'm going for 7 total goals.
All right. Well, I think you're right in guessing that the Blackhawks are going to win. I have to agree with you. The Wild going onto the road to Chicago. That's tough for any team that's going to come into Chicago and play. I think that the Wild are playing a fairly decent game right now, but I still don't think it'll be enough. It will be a closer match, but I'm going to go with the Blackhawks and 6 total goals. I'm going to guess that it'll probably be about a 4-2 game. I'm guessing that it'll be probably 3-2 and then maybe an open netter at the end.
See, I was going more for 4-3. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think it's going to be high scoring.
Yeah.
High enough scoring, I guess.
Definitely.
Right. I think we've wrapped this guy up with put a nice bow. And we got one more episode before
the Christmas break there.
Christmas, holidays, New Year's kind of morass here. So We'll be back next Sunday. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITB. I've changed my Twitter handle to match us.
All right.
Look at that. And then lastly, Blatant Pug for my band Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And when I'm not here with these two clones, you can usually find me on Twitter at RottenK999, retweeting about live audio and random stupid stuff.
And you can follow me. I'm Jive. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Follow me if you dare. You might see nothing. Might see something.
Manitoba Moose?
Yeah.
Are now St. John's Ice Caps as of 2011. Which a little bit before, before Winnipeg got their team back. So they
may have already had their team, and
so you know,
preemptive get out of Dodge.
Basically, Disney took over the arena for like a year or two with Disney on Ice Weekly.
Hey, I think we're hosting that this week, actually, at the X. So
you know what, we are.
Yep.
Yes, so. Yes, we are.
And on that note, I think we're going to call it a show.
Sounds
See y'all good night.